Good morning, Ryan. I can't say thank you enough for allowing me the opportunity to come and share. And as Ryan briefly mentioned, and for those of you who don't know, my wife and I are the directors of the College Group Ministry here, and we've been loving it. I love this church. My family was missionaries through this church, and I have grown up here, so to speak. Woo! This is going to be fun. I'm excited. Heads up, I laugh a lot. That's just the flavor that comes with the pan. That's who I am. So I am going to, I'm going to pray before I jump into this. Father God, I thank you for this. I thank you for what you're doing and what you're speaking. And God, I just simply ask on the word that goes out that you would, God, give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and a teachable heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so Ryan has been talking a lot about heaven and teaching on heaven. And I want to continue in that vein. I want to talk about bringing heaven to earth. Now, I know that sometimes it can be overwhelming when we think about reaching other people for God. And especially when you don't feel like you're the person, the type of person who does that sort of thing. And it can be this really overwhelming thought. But here's the thing. You and I are each given a part to play and a role to play. And so this morning, I want to talk about how we go from being overwhelmed to overjoyed with that role we play. And it starts by bringing heaven to earth. Okay, so let's jump right in. The first thing I want to establish is a transition that happens when we receive Christ. So our life before Christ, the hierarchy is spirit at the uppermost, soul, and then body. You do for self what self wanted. The flesh is in control. And then after you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is a transition that happens. That hierarchy actually flips, and all of a sudden you have the Spirit of God reigning at the top, the soul, and then the body. So now we see that the body is in subjection to the Spirit. The Spirit is leading. So there's that shift that happens. If you want to find the address for that, I would encourage you to read Romans 8, all of Romans 8. 5 through 6 is the specifics of what I just talked about, but read that whole chapter, and that will kind of give you a little bit more. I'm not going to spend too much time on that, because that's just, I just kind of want to lay a little bit of groundwork, that when we receive Jesus, there is a shift that happens. Okay, so let's keep going. So now that I've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, in walks this new lifestyle known as righteousness, which, simply put, is the principles of God's word applied through relationship with God. You see, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they had the law. They had the written. They had the law, and they followed it. They made it so strict that it was, you know, checking off all the boxes. And what was happening was, is they weren't becoming righteous. They were becoming self-righteous. So when Jesus shows up on the scene, he goes, "Oh, you missed the point. The law was supposed to demonstrate the need for a Savior, so that you can be made whole on the inside, who you are." And so we see that happening. So righteousness, our righteousness in God, it's not regulations that just through self-will and determination, I'm going to be this thing. No, it's through relationship with God, because it's the power of God that allows the transformation to happen. Okay, so I'm going to kind of keep going through this. This is important that we cover this first. Okay, let's see. Okay, so relationship, that's what I want to talk about for the next few minutes, is in relationship we find things like abiding, communicating, trusting, obeying. This isn't everything, but it's just a few of the core things that I wanted to touch on. So now we know that there's been this shift, the Spirit's reigning uppermost in our life, that our body, our flesh, is in subjection to the Spirit. And we know that what I learn through the Word of God, it's supposed to be applied through relationship. So what does relationship look like? What is it supposed to look like? So I want to kind of give some addresses that explain that a little bit. So I want to start first with abiding. If you're taking notes and you like to get a little bit ahead of the game, I'll do you a favor. I'm going to go through abiding, then communicating, then trusting, and obeying. And first I want to start with abiding. And it says this in John 15, 1 through 11. It says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers, and branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. That's crazy. Okay, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love if you keep my commandments, and you will keep my commandments and you will abide in my love, just as the Father, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that you may be, that I may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Okay, so abiding. This is telling us that from that place, growth happens, pruning happens, developing happens, removal happens. It's showing us a little bit about what abiding in our relationship should look like. And interesting, I'll point out here at the bottom, it says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So our joy being full is actually in direct relation to our abiding. So that helps us when that check engine light comes on. We know where something is lacking, and it's in that abiding with God. Okay, the next verse I want to read is actually, I'm going to go there. I want to read Psalms 91, 1 through 16. And again, this is a verse that also talks about abiding, but you'll notice it gives a little bit different of a perspective on it. So I want to read that right now. And here we go. In case you're wondering, I'm reading it in the Passion Translation. When you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, and he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield, keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil launched against you. Even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed amongst the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here's what the Lord has spoken to me. And get this. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence even in your time of pressure and trouble. I'll be your glorious hero, and I'll give you a feast, and you will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. It's abiding, but listen to what it's saying. I am your shelter, I am your confidence, I am your protector, I am your hero, you're my lover. It's talking about abiding, but it's in a personal tone. It's in a private tone, an individual, intimate tone. So this is important that we see a little bit more of this element in our relationship with God, that abiding, it can look like that. That's what it can look like. And that's what it can look like for you. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's keep going. So again, another facet of our relationship is knowing the Bible. Okay, knowing the Word of God is knowing that the Word of God... Two things. You've got the written word, the logos, the written recorded word of God, and then you have the rhema, which is the spoken word of God. God speaking to us by way of the Spirit. Because remember, we're spiritual beings, right? And now that order, that hierarchy is changed around, it is now the Spirit of God leading. We are spiritual beings. We hear in the realm of the Spirit. So let's talk about that. I feel like there's a pretty clear understanding about the written, recorded, the logos. I feel like we're really comfortable with that, and we know that, but I want to talk about the area that can be maybe a little bit more uncomfortable, that we don't know, and hoping that clarity will help do away with confusion and also allow you to walk a little bit fuller in who God called you to be. So there we go. I want to start by going to Luke 5:5. Now, if you want to try and track with me and jump to all the verses, you're bold because I'm going to go fast, hopefully not too fast. So I'll give you the address. Feel free to look into that whole chapter later if you want to. But for sake of time, I'm going to go for it. So here we go. I want to start by going to Luke 5:5. And to give you a little bit of context, Jesus, he sees the multitudes. He's wanting to teach. There's so many of them. He sees two boats out in the water. Okay, gets into a boat. It's Peter's boat. He goes out and he teaches the people. And then he turns to Peter. And he says, in a nutshell, go cast your nets on the other side. We know this story. And so that's where we pick up in verse 5. It says, Master, Peter replied, we've just come back from fishing all night. And I didn't catch a thing. But if you insist, we'll go out again and let down our nets because of your word. That word is rhema. I'll go out and do it, Jesus, because it's your rhema. How many of you know that if there wasn't fish out in the lake a moment ago, as soon as Jesus said, lower your nets, there was fish? Because God cannot lie, but by nature he can create with what he says. So when he says, cast your nets on the other side, there's fish. Okay? That is the rhema. And two things happened here. The rhema word was given, and then Peter did something equally as important. He received it. He says, because it's you, I'll do it. Okay? I want to give another example. In Acts 28, 25 through 28, Paul, he's teaching to a group of people, and there's a moment coming when he's been at it for a little while, and everybody kind of reaches its pinnacle. They've made up their minds on what they're going to believe and what they're not going to believe. And the group begins to split. They begin to, a little bit of quarreling that happens, but they begin to split. And as one group is out the door, that is where we drop into this story, starting in verse 25. Still unable to agree amongst themselves, they were about to leave when Paul made one last statement to them. The Holy Spirit stated it well when he spoke about your ancestors through the prophet Isaiah. I send you to this people to say to them, You will keep learning, but not understanding. You will keep staring at the truth, but you will keep staring at the truth, but you will not perceive it, for your hearts are hard and insensitive to me. You must be hard of hearing, for you've closed your eyes so that you won't be troubled by the truth, and you've covered your ears so that you won't have to listen and be pierced by what I say. Listen well. Okay, and it goes, for then you would have responded and repented, so that I could heal your hearts. So listen well, this wonderful salvation given by God is now being presented to non-Jewish nations, and they will believe and receive it. So what's happening? This group is heading out the door. He's talked to them about God and who God is, and they've just not received it, and they're on their way out. So he's speaking to the group that's actually not receiving the word that's being given. And he says, in the beginning it says, they were about to leave when Paul made a statement. Your translation will say a word. Either one, you look at the root of it, and it's the rhema. He gave a rhema word to the group that was leaving. They had a barrier to communication. They weren't understanding. Remember he said, you'll read it, but you won't perceive what's happening. And so Paul gives them a rhema word. He goes, the reason you can't receive it is the same reason your ancestors couldn't receive it through the prophets. What did he say? He said, learning you will not understand, staring at the truth you will not perceive it. For your heart is hard and insensitive. You've closed your eyes, you've closed your ears. But here he gives them the key. For when I could give your heart soul, but listen. Okay, so listen well. The wonderful. Okay, it says, you want to listen to pierce by what I say, for then you would have responded and repented. He's giving them the key to get past that barrier. He's actually giving them a rhema word that's the key to get past what they can't currently understand. Because if they did, he said, he's giving them the key, respond and repent so that I can heal your hearts. So he's giving them what they don't currently have. The rhema word that's coming out is actually giving them a key to get past the barrier in their relationship with God. But just like Peter, they have a choice. I can receive it or I can walk away from it. And we see in this conversation, they walk away, they leave. So I wanted to give two examples of a rhema word coming forward and the person receiving it, and a rhema word coming and the person not receiving it, or the group not receiving it. Okay, one more. John 15, 7 through 10. And it says this: "But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciple who glorify my Father." My mature disciples who glorify my Father. "I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my words, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love." Okay, in the first part here, it says, if you live in life union, and if my words, that's the word rhema. If my words, my rhema words, live powerfully within you. What does that mean? When I have the rhema and the written living powerfully within me, what does that mean? It's simple. The word of God lives powerfully in you when you give it authority, when you give it honor, when you give it value. When I take and say, the joy of the Lord will be my strength, and I am declaring that in the moment of difficulty, what am I doing? I'm saying the Spirit's reigning upmost in my life, and the flesh is in submission to that. So regardless of how I feel, I'm going to declare that truth. What am I doing? I am giving the word of God power within me. That's what that means. So notice here in the beginning, it said, if you're in union, my rhema will live powerfully within you. But then notice at the very end, it says, if you keep my commandments. What's a commandment? It's the written, recorded word of God. It's the logos. So if I live in union and I want to be nourished by the love of God, it's having an understanding and a practice of both the written and the rhema word in my life. Okay. Pace yourself, Jake. Okay, here we go. Here's where a little bit of confusion can come in, because they're supposed to work in tandem. We know that we're spiritual beings and we can perceive and hear things in the spirit. But how do you know if you don't have some sort of a guide or something to measure it by? You're going to sound weird. You're going to weird people out. I'll be honest with you. It's going to look super weird. Okay, the written word of God, the logos, is actually, it paves the way for the rhema word. Because what I do is, as I'm growing in my understanding of what the word of God says, I can take what I'm hearing in the spirit. You ever had that like, is that a me thought? Or is like, is that God speaking to me? Or, man, what was that thought? That came through and that's definitely not who I am. We perceive things in the spirit. But when I have the word and I have an understanding and I'm growing in what it's saying, I can take what I'm hearing in the spirit and I can line it up, because God says, test the spirits. So I can line it up to what I know of the word of God to be true. And I can go, what I'm hearing doesn't sound like this, because the spirit of God will never violate the principles found in the word of God. So this is how I tune my ear to hearing. So it's both reading and learning, and it's actually waiting, listening, hearing. It is testing. It's the two working together. So the written actually gives me a guide, an example, a standard by which I can measure what I'm hearing in the spirit. Does that make sense? That's what that is. Okay. And I want to say this. The rhema word comes through relationship. It does not come through regulations where of self-will, I'm really trying to do something. The rhema comes through relationship. Why? Because the rhema word by nature invokes trust, which is a principle of relationship. So the rhema word, it comes through my relationship with God, applying the principles of his word in my life. Because like Peter, hey, go cast your nets on the other side. I'll do it because I trust you, Jesus. But you have the group walking out of the room and they go, I don't trust, nah. And they leave and they actually lose the thing that would have built that bridge. So it comes through relationship because it invokes trust. I have to trust that God is speaking to me in this way, and that when it lines up with his word, I have the opportunity, yet the obligation, to take a risk and to see what that looks like. Okay, here we go. Again, we're still talking about elements of our relationship with God, so I want to talk about communication. And instead of reading these, I'm just going to give you the addresses. Prayer is the dialogue of our relationship with God. Ryan and the other pastors have done a great job in teaching on this in the past. Prayer has many expressions, and we know this. But prayer is the dialogue of our relationship with God. I want to give you several addresses, not all of them, but several. The first, if you want to jot it down, is Philippians 4:6. and we are jotting that down. That is prayer within the context of doing the Lord's work, so ministry. Colossians 4:2, and this is prayer within the context of households and homes. Another one is Ephesians 6:16-18, and this is prayer within the context of warfare. And then lastly, 1 Thessalonians 5:15-18, this is prayer within the context of building each other up. What this shows me is it shows me God's heart and desire for my relationship with Him. Because notice they're not all clustered to one part of my life. It's sporadic. So what does that tell me? It tells me God just doesn't want a place in my life. He wants the wholeness of my life. He wants all of it. Not interested in a seat at the table, but interested in being seated in the throne over your life, over your body, over your soul, over your spirit, the totality of your life at the top. That's what He's interested in. That's what it tells me. Also, we know that Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. And then the Bible goes and does this thing that puts your head in a swirl, and it says, if recorded all the miracles Jesus did, if we recorded them and put them into books, the earth could not contain them. What does that tell you about the communication between Jesus and the Father? Ongoing. That's the point. It's ongoing. Prayer is ongoing. Okay. This next one I want to get to is, yes, which is the last one for our relationship. And I'm actually just going to, okay, well, I won't spend a lot of time on this one, but it is also fundamental, which is trusting and obeying. Trust and obedience are the two things that fuel your relationship with God, because trust and obedience are what fuels your faith. And faith, as we know, is meant to be stirred up in motion, because our need for faith is ongoing. Our application of faith should be ongoing as well. And that comes through trusting and obeying. What did Peter do? I trust you, and now I'm going to go obey you. What was he doing? Stirring up his faith. You are responsible. You're your biggest cheerleader when it comes to having your faith stirred up. Don't live a life where you rely on someone else to stir your faith up. Doesn't work that way, because it has to come through relationship. It has to come through abiding. Okay. Yes. Addresses for that. Hebrews 11, James 2, Ephesians 2. Now, you're probably saying in the beginning, Jake, I thought you were going to talk about bringing heaven to earth. I am. I've been. You see, because heaven comes to earth when you manifest it, when you take the principles of God's kingdom and you bring them into your life and you give them authority, the power to do what they were intended to do, you then begin to display Jesus in your life, which is heaven on earth. This is why it's so important that we get relationship down first, because it's in that place that God is taking my mind, my heart, my behavior. He's actually calibrating them. He's molding the wholeness of my life to reflect who He is. Ministry, reaching people, has very, very little to do with what you say. It has everything to do with who you are. And I'll say that again. Ministry has very little to do with what you say, but it has everything to do with who you are. Amen. Reaching people, it's very simple. It's God bringing people into your area of reach. It's simple. Because when I'm in relationship and when I'm in abiding, I'm in the center of God's will for my life. And I want to give three areas that God will do this in. Depending on your life and your circumstances or your job, your occupation, retired, stay at home, whatever it is, it'll look a little different. But the core principle is this. There's three areas in my life that God's going to bring people into my reach, which is really people into His reach, because He's reaching them through me because I'm an ambassador. If you want to find that, you can read 2 Corinthians 5, all of it. It's good. Okay, so the three areas that God will do this in is at your work, in your home, and in route. These are areas that God will actually bring you people into your life for the proof of your life to reach, okay? Because our life is the proof that we are in Christ. Okay, so I don't want to do this. Um, depending on what you do for a living, the majority of your time will probably be at work and at home. And then there's this little gap in between where you're driving to and from work, or you're going to get gas, or you're going to the grocery store or the gym. That's the en route portion, right? We know in the Bible it talks about Peter and John on their way going to pray, and they met a lame man and they heal him. He was en route. So I like to call that period of time of travel, it's en route. It's the least amount of time in my week, but it's still a factor. So what I'm going to do is I would like to now share with you some testimonies, stories of my own where I've explored what does it look like to be an ambassador at work, at home, and en route. So that's what I want to do right now. Let's see. Let's start in the home. Okay, what does it look like? Exploring what it looks like to be an ambassador of God in the home. We have this thing in my house where we try not to carry around a bad attitude because we've realized we get them, right? We all do. You know it. And so we don't want to carry around a bad attitude because it begins to affect everybody else around us. So what my wife and I started doing is just exploring, you know, what does this look like to teach our kids how you feel and self actually doesn't have dominion and authority, but the Spirit of God does. So how do we teach this? And I forget where this originated, but we do this thing where I recognize I have a bad attitude, or someone, how kind of them, would tell me. And and so I go, you know what? You're right. And the first step is repentance, for asking for forgiveness. So I just say, hey, you know, babe, would you forgive me? I've had a bad attitude. That's not right. Or like my kids, hey, kids, you know, dad has had a bad attitude. Will you please forgive me? And they'd be like, oh, sure, yeah, daddy, I forgive you. And my wife's like, yeah, babe, I forgive you. And then now you're still left with the ugly, though, of like your choices of being in a bad mood. And so what we started to do is like the Bible says, walk in the opposite spirit. Declare what God's word says, right? So I'm like, okay, like there's that song that we all learned as kids, like I've got the joy, 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 joy. And so I'll just say that until it shifts, until I feel it. It sounds silly, but it works. If you've been to any of our college group teachings and gatherings, this is something we've talked about a lot, actually. And, you know, I'll just be like, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And sometimes you're like, you say, yeah, down in my heart. It's like the first few times you say it through your teeth, like, it's down in my heart, Lord. But it takes a bit of time, but it switches. And what this would begin to do is it's a simple way of teaching and showing your kids, like, this is how you can walk in the opposite. They've gotten so good at it. They see me in a bad mood. My daughter goes, Daddy, I've got the joy, joy. I'm like, oh, thank you. Oh, I feel like this big right now. But she was right. Okay, so that's an example of just exploring what does this look like to be a minister of God at home. And so next I want to talk about at work and just me just kind of exploring what it looks like to what does it look like, God, to be an ambassador in the workplace? And I remember my first job in entertainment, I got at this studio, and I quickly realized that I'm really good at communicating and talking to other Christians when it comes to my belief and what I believe in God. But when it comes to pre-Christians, people who don't know God, I'm like, I don't have a grid for what this could look like, Lord. And I remember getting into my first job and quickly realizing, like, I don't talk about what I believe with people. Why? It bothered me. I'm like, why don't I do this? This is a huge part of my life. And I remember asking God, God, show me, like, what does this look like here? Again, right? Exploring, what does this look like? And God put someone in my life. I had a coworker who was working at the same studio at the time, and he took me out to lunch. And we're sitting talking with each other, and come to find out he is a Christian. And he just began just chatting with me. It was like a good start of a conversation. And then as time went on, we'd go out to lunch and maybe another person or another two people would come with us. And I sat across the table from this guy and I witnessed how he talked to people about God. And I sat there. I remember one day at Chipotle, I'm sitting across from him and I realized God's answering my prayer. He's giving me a word through this guy. He's giving me a grid for what it looks like to talk about Jesus in my field of work. And it changed the game for me. So for the next 2 years, I just paid close attention to this guy. I watched how he would navigate conversations. I watched how he treated people. I'm like, does his life, does it line up with what God's word says? And it did. And I realized God was giving me a solution. Remember we talked about Paul talking to that group as they were leaving? He gave him a rhema word. He gave him a key. I realized I was listening. I could see that God was giving me a key, helping me get through a barrier of communication. So that was an example at work, just like exploring, gosh, what does this look like? Okay, and also, we're here, we're a part of this church, so I also want to give a testimony there of what it looks like. God, what does this look like for me to contribute at church, to be part of what you're doing here? And I remember we had a pastor come through one time, and I had a dream. Again, learning how to hear in the spirit, I had a dream, and I go, this kind of lines up in some way. So I remember, I didn't know, so I took it to Ryan, and I said, hey, I had this dream. I feel like it's for this guy. What do you think? And so Ryan was like, you know what, this could be a God thing, could be pizza, but let's go talk to him. So he set up a time to meet, and we did. And I remember beforehand, I was talking with Ryan, and I'm like, I don't have an answer. Like, I just have a piece. And even Ryan was saying, like, okay, like, I could see that, I could see this. Let's just see what he says, and let's just, we're not trying to push it on anybody. That's a big thing learning, that's a big thing you learn, is that you're just the delivery guy. You're just delivering, and you deliver it in a way that you'd want someone to deliver something to you. And the Bible says, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. It's teaching us the principle of be appropriate, be what's needed. So I remember we went and met this guy, and I had said, hey, dude, I had a dream, and I feel like I saw two business opportunities, and the first one is going to fall through. It looked good, but it was going to fall through. And there's going to be a second opportunity that was going to allow, in my dream, I'm like, I saw it allow for family. And I told him this, and he's so gracious. I remember the look on his face when I told him, and he's like, okay, and he was thinking it through. And I said, does that mean anything to you? Does that have any, you know, is this spam? Like, does it just sound like gibberish, or does that mean something? And I remember he thought it through and was like, maybe it could fit here, maybe there, but there was no, like, oh, yeah, that's what it is. And I remember he's like, you know, let me pray about it. Let me think about this. And we kind of continue our conversation along, and then he began to share a little more. Actually, you know, we're in the process of looking for a new location. And, you know, we did get a new location that someone is giving to us, and there's already been all this, like, product that's coming in that's going to allow, like, we're not having to do a whole lot. It's being gifted to us. He starts talking about this amazing thing, and that's in my spirit. I remember going, oh, I think that has something to do with it. And then up until this point, he really hadn't asked anything. He'd been kind of doing a lot of talking. And so he looked over the table, and he asked me. He said, Jake, what do you think it means? And I remember, do you remember this, Ryan? I remember I laughed, and I was like, you don't want to know what I think it means. Because I'm like, if I could take a risk and say what it means, it's that what's being gifted to you right now is going to fall through. And I knew that. But he asked me, and I said, okay, man. I said, I think that is the first offer. I think it's going to fall through. And he said, you know what? Let me think about this. I like to think about and kind of chew on these things. And so we parted ways. And I remember that night talking with Ryan. And I remember, we don't have all of it figured out, but I think that has something to do with it. So let's just wait and see. And I think that's what Ryan had said. And let's wait and see. And so 5 months go by, and I get a call at work from Ryan. And he's like, hey, a pastor got a hold of me. That thing they were being gifted, the building, it actually got put on hold. And he called me and said, hey, tell your friend, he might be right. And so for me, I was like, that's so cool. Not cool for them, because that just got put on hold. But for me, I was like, there's something happening. God speaking. And so fast forward a couple more months, I called the pastor up to see how he was doing, how it was going, and the project had completely fallen through. They then began to look at other opportunities and places to get a campus. And within a couple months, they ended up putting in an offer on something that, as he told me, was better than they could have expected, and they didn't think they were going to get approved, and they got it. And I remember when I heard that, something inside me leapt. One, for them, I'm like, that's super cool. But two, for me, it was learning how to take what you're hearing in the spirit, line it up. Is this what it says? I don't know. That's okay if I don't fully know. I go to someone who does know. Hey, Ryan, this is saying this. This doesn't conflict with what the Bible's saying. Can we test it? Can we explore what this looks like? And in doing so, seeing, oh my gosh, nets down the other side, fish. Okay, God, you've got my attention. Okay, so that's just one example. Just at work, ministry. Okay, and then last, I want to close with this. I might go a little bit over, but super cool for us because we get to go over together. Here we go. En route. This was an area that fascinated me. Again, the smallest chunk of your time. But I could realize when I'd go through the week, I would see hundreds of people, if not more than that, on the street, walking to and from work, and it wouldn't affect me. I would just pass by. Nothing happened. But I begin to realize that in that en route time, occasionally someone would be highlighted to me, and that got my attention. And so I said, okay, God, I remember that story of Peter and John on their way to the temple, and they met that lame man, and they healed him. And I remember being like, okay, you do it for them. And I could look at hundreds of people during the day and not feel a single thing, but all of a sudden, I'm passing by, I see this person, I feel something. What am I feeling? You're sharing your heart with me. Okay, so what do? I have no idea what to do. I'll give you an example. I'm driving down the street here by church, and I see this guy pass in front of our church. He's got like a neck brace and a cast, and it's one of those things where I'm driving, and I see him, and I have a burden for him or something in my heart he's highlighted. I literally was just like, we're going to test this. I want to explore what this looks like. Pulled my car over. I approached him how I would want to be approached by a stranger, right? Not like, hey, I would not stop for you. I would run from you. And so I just walk up to them like, hey, dude, quick second. You know, I was driving by on my way home. I saw your neck brace and stuff. What happened to you? And he shared with me. You believe that? Complete perfect stranger. He shared with me. And he told me what had happened. And I said, hey, man, listen, this is my church, right? I am not a weirdo. This is my church. I'm on staff here, and we believe in healing. And, dude, can I just pray for you? And so it's simple, right? Again, I'm just exploring what this looks like. So, God, I pray you'd mend what's broken, and I pray that you'd restore healing and give him full motion back and everything is preventing him from doing, like work and things like that. Your word says you repay tenfold. So, God, give him back tenfold. And I'm doing it in a way that I would want it done for me, meaning I'm not laying hands on the dude. I don't want strangers touching me, I'm not expecting that he close his eyes when I pray. If some stranger came up to you, are you going to look down at the ground and close your eyes? No, I wouldn't do that. I'm like, I'm watching you. And so I just prayed for him. I said, hey, you have a great day. And I got in my car and I left. And there was times like that at Porto's, at, other like restaurants or coffee bars that I'd gone to, and I would just go in and I'd recognize someone would get highlighted, and I go, oh, this doesn't happen every day. I want to explore what this looks like. And I remember one time I was with my coworkers, we were getting coffee, and there's two young men sitting at a table, and I felt like one was highlighted, and so I'm like, I'm with my coworkers, what do I do? Again, I'm just sharing my internal process with you so you can just see, like, it's just, I'm exploring what it looks like. And so I remember I walked out with my coworkers and I told them, hey guys, I'll catch up with you later. I'm gonna double back for something. And I doubled back and I literally bought myself a coffee, walked over and said, hey guys, do you mind if I take a second? I wanna chat with you real quick. And they said, sure, yeah, man, sit down. You believe that? Complete perfect stranger. Yeah, sit down. And so I sat down and I just in my head, God, what am I doing here? I know I've got a coffee in my hand, but what am I doing here, you know? And it was just as simple as, like, how can I pray for you? So I said, I'm a Christian. I'm learning how to hear from God. How can I pray for you? And they were both in the tech industry, and they were developing a project. And they said, you know, we could use prayer for that coming together. And I could tell it was, like, a little awkward. They were, like, a little awkward, but they were receiving who I was. And so I prayed for them, and then I left. And I remember at a certain point, after all these, like, little encounters with God, I said, God, you know, we expect to grow from the outcome, right? The neck being healed or the sight being restored. We expect to grow from all of that. But what I wasn't realizing then, but I realize now, it's trust and obedience. It's developing relationship. There's the gifting God gives you, and there's the grace on the gifting. And in between is the developing that was happening. That's what was happening in my life. I was learning how to listen to what God was saying and to stopping and obeying it. He was developing in me. The miracle was happening in me. Okay, and this is my last one, and I want to close with this one. In the middle of this process, right, of just taking risks, exploring what it looks like, taking what I'm hearing, taking what I know from the Bible, and doing my best to figure out what it looks like. Because I go, God, I know that you see, thank God, that you see my heart is to please you, and even if I get this wrong, it's going to be okay. I'll learn from it. I'll grow from it. But the point is, you said I'm an ambassador to people. You said my life is proof of what I believe and that it has everything to do with who I am. So I must develop that because that's what you asked for me to do, to reach people for you. And it starts by letting God transform me first, right? The power of God in you is the love of God. And you cannot have the love of God in you and not be transformed or changed because it's that which people see on you, that causes them to have grace. You know what I realized? In all those times I went up to people, I found grace and favor there. And it shocked me. I can count on one hand in 7 years how many people said no, or walked away, or were just rude. one hand in 7 years. And I realized that when God brought people into my reach and his spirit prompted me, there was grace and favor there. There was times when God would throw in a wild card and be like, I'm developing you. You need to learn how to move past rejection. You need to learn how to move past that and learn my heart and my heart for people. Because you're not going to get it right all the time. You're going to grow and develop. So I begin to see that's what was happening. So like I said, I want to end with one more story, one more testimony. I was walking out of a CVS on my way back to work. Okay, so I'm en route. And Pat Gilmore, I love Pat. She sent me a text to encourage me that day. She said something along the lines of this. Jake, I feel like God's going to give you an opportunity with somebody. He has an appointment for you today, and he's going to bless you by it, but God's going to give you somebody to minister to. And I walked out of CVS, and I had my phone out, and I was super encouraging. I was like, that's really encouraging. Wow. And I had a choice. Work was that way, and I was on my way back to work. And just so you know, I know the nature of my job, its limits, its restrictions. I know where I have room to take a little bit of time. I can take my lunch early or I can take my break early. So for me, I'm not going to obviously disrespect my job and my work, but I knew the grace, so I knew I could take time if I needed to. And so, which is important because it's important that we honor our place of employment while we're serving the Lord. And en route, that's key because you're usually on your way to work or you're usually on your way home. Both places you're responsible for. But for me, I knew where the grace was with when I could be absent. And so there was a young guy, a homeless guy. He was sitting on the street. I'd seen him for about a week, and he'd been highlighted repeatedly to me, but I just didn't know what to say, right? God, I'm not an evangelist. I don't know what to say to, right? How many of us have said that? Throw that away. I had a choice because Pat was giving me a word, and I trusted Pat, and what she was saying lines up with what God's word says, that we're to be ministers to people. And so I made a choice. I beelined it. I went for the young guy. And I walked over to him, and again, internal dialogue. God, what do I do? I'm going to be super awkward. He's going to think I'm weird. He might even not be all there. What's going to happen? Things we think about, right? And so I walked over to him, and I just simply said, hey, man. I'm like, hey, my name's Jacob. What's your name, dude? And he shared his name with me. He didn't really look at me. He just kind of shared his name. I kind of was expecting for me to keep going. And I said, hey, how old are you, man? And he told me his age, and something in me changed because he was my age. And something in me went, ah, that's not right. My heart broke for him. I wasn't expecting that. And so I'm like, okay, God, I feel like I need more time with this guy. So it was simple. I just said, hey, man, you got lunch plans? And he kind of looked at me funny, like as if he like, I don't have a schedule. And you got lunch plans? I'm off for lunch in about 2 hours. Do you want to grab lunch with me? I want to hear about your life. And he said, sure. Got back to work, got my work done. The whole time I'm like, what am I going to say? I'm meeting up with this guy. But I went. I met up with him. I had lunch with him. And the whole time in my head, I'm like, feeling like I need to do something. God, what do? Do I get him saved? Bang, 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 get back to work. Like, just thoughts like, do I encourage him? Do I try and give him a word? What do I do? And I remember the whole time there, I just felt like I was just supposed to listen to the guy. I asked him questions like, hey, I see you got ink. That's pretty awesome. Tell me about the story behind that. And I'm showing interest all the while. God, what do I do? I need to share it a little bit with me. And we ended up parting ways after that. But I knew before I left, I'm like, I kept getting that thought. I feel like I need more time with you. So I said, hey, you want to meet next week? He said, sure. This continued on for like 4 or 5 months. Meeting with this guy. I thought I was doing someone else a favor, but God was working on me. Little did I know. And so I met with him. And so after about 4 or 5 months, he talks to me. Now there's been some relational equity built. And he starts sharing a little bit about his life. That's one thing I've noticed is that when you take time to care about what God cares about, and you take time to be obedient to what God is saying, there's something for you in that because God's usually developing you. And so I built a little bit of relational equity with this guy. He could see that I wasn't a total weirdo because I was learning how to care. So I needed to be genuine because people can tell when it's a put-on love or a genuine love. They tell right away. Again, the proof of your life. It's who you are. So I've been talking with him for 5 months, and we're finishing up lunch one day, and he shares with me. He says, you know, and he opens up a little bit. I'm not from, like, around here. I grew up, he's like, I'll be honest with you, I grew up in church. And he began to share a little bit of some trauma associated with that. Having tough questions, having questions about the Bible, and either not getting answers or getting a lot of what he was telling me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I know what God's word says. It does not say that. Getting wrong answers or being chastised for asking questions because you shouldn't ask questions about those things. And he began to be vulnerable and share a bit of that with me. And he said, and I will not forget this. He said, when I got old enough to leave home, the one place my pastor told me God wasn't was L.A. And so I left and I came here and I find you who wants to do nothing but sit across the table and talk to me about Jesus and the hope for my life. And so I made a really good friend. I could have gone back to work, but I took a risk in exploring, God, what does this look like? Because this sounds like you. And so I told him, I said, hey, listen, man, what you want to do with your life, that's totally up to you. But tell you what you shared with me, the questions you have, if you'll let me, I'll spend the next couple months, I'll meet with you, and I'll help you unpack all that, and I'll answer your questions. So we did. We met. And he had a ton of really good questions. He questioned me like, okay, so when you say this, what does it mean? When the Bible says this, and he began everything he didn't get an answer for before, I noticed there was a hunger there because he really wanted to know if God was really that good, if God was really that loving. And so I humbled across the table, got to sit and to share with him and give him some answers. And I walked away with a really good friend. Changed my life. Really did. Because after that, when I saw people and God highlighted people, I saw them different. I saw potential. I saw that's going to take a little bit of time. And I recognize that when I stop and take time for what God wants, when I stop and take time for him, I experience the power of God because then the love of God floods you for that person and you will begin to give time where you didn't give time before. You'll begin to remember things of what you were taught to share. And all of a sudden, you are displaying heaven on earth for that person. And they go, ah, it's real. Because you carry it. You have a part to play in this and I have a part to play in this. The fun part is your part's going to look like you, and obviously my part's going to look like me. I'm tapping that microphone. My part's going to look like me. And when we explore what it looks like to be Jesus and to bring heaven to earth, we actually find a place we were meant to be all the time, all along. So with that, I want to close us out in prayer. And if the worship team would like to come up, you guys, I'm going to close us out in prayer and then we enter into a time of worship. And let God speak to you. Hear what God is saying in the Spirit. Hear what God is speaking to you. So, Father God, I thank you that your word is powerful in truth. God, I thank you that every single person, God, who gives you their life, God, they have eyes to see you. They have ears to hear you and teachable hearts. Even people who don't know you, God, they have ears to hear. They want to know what's true. They'll listen for truth. So, God, I pray that any barrier to communication with you would be removed, and that, God, you would have your will and your way, and that you would empower those who now's the time for them to rise up to the place that they were called to be and explore what it looks like for themselves to be an ambassador of God here and now. In Jesus' name, amen.